Happy Mother's Day. I was thinking this was the 100th anniversary of Mother's Day because I read that somewhere recently. So I started looking and I started checking, and I wish I hadn't written that in there on the bulletin, because it's kind of up in the air as to when the thing really happens. Mothers are teachers and they're disciplinarians and they're cleaning ladies and lawn care workers and mowers of lawns and gardeners, and they understand that baking cookies is more important than cleaning windows. They're nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors, chauffeurs, coaches. They're developers of personalities, molders of vocabulary, shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, you know, I love you. And mothers are linked to God. Child's first impression of God's love comes from moms. There are all these things and so much more. And there's a lady that wrote a book called The Grass is Always Greener Over the Septic Tank. Her name is Irma Bombeck, and she just had a terrific sense of humor. And she wrote a column about motherhood. She says that on the day that God created moms, he'd been working long overdue hours, just overtime, put in a lot of overtime working on her. And an angel came to him and said, Lord, you're spending a lot of time on this one. And he said, have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable and not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal a broken leg and a wounded heart. She's to have a lap that'll disappear whenever she stands up. She's supposed to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. Supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. The angel said, that's impossible, 6 pairs of hands. It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord, it's the 3 pair of eyes. He said, that's the hard part. He said, that one pair that is just there so that when she walks up to the door and she says, okay, what's going on in there? She already has seen it. She already knows what's going on in there before she asks the question. Then they have that other pair that's in the back of their head that sees all those things that they don't want to see, but she sees it anyway. And then there's that pair that looks the child right in the eye when they've goofed and made some blunder and something, and they communicate just with those eyes, love and understanding without saying a word. That's too much. You can't put all that into one model, the angel says. You know, they'll leak, you know. He said, oh, why don't you rest and then resume your work tomorrow? And he says, no, he says, I just about have it. He says, I'm creating something that's much like myself. So very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick. She can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger. And she can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. The angel says, yeah, but she just seems too soft. He says, oh, no. She seems that way, but she is tough. She's tough. Can she think? Ah, she can think. She can persuade. She can compromise. She can reason. She can handle it. And then your angel reaches over and he touches her cheek and he says, see, she's leaking. See? I said, no, that's not a leak, that's a tear. What causes that? I told you can't put that much in there. He says, no. He says, it's for joy and for sadness and for sorrow and disappointment and for pride and for laughing. And he just says, you're a genius. You're a genius. You're the king. And the Lord looked at him and said, thank you very much. You know, with all this in mind, when you turn to Matthew, the 20th chapter, you find this mother, Zebedee's wife, the mother of James and John. And she comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels down in front of him and she asks him a favor. He says, what is it that you want? She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't really know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And those young men said, yes, we can. And he said, yeah, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left, that's not really mine to give. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. You see, Mrs. Zebedee was aware of Jesus' teaching. She was aware of the things he taught about the kingdom, and she was aware of the fact that James and John were close to him. They were very close to him. In fact, when you read about the inner circle, the three, it's Peter, James, and John. They're two-thirds of the inner circle. So she was certain that when the Lord formed the kingdom, they'd have a lot to do and they'd be in charge of a lot of things. That's how she was looking at it. But then she remembered that story that Jesus told. She may well have thought about that. Where he tells the story of a landowner who goes out and he finds laborers, and they're working, and he gets them early in the morning. He puts them to work for a decent wage, and then later in the day he goes and he gets more, and he puts them to work in the field. And then later in the day, way late, he goes out and he gets more, and then he pays them all the same wage. And it may have caused her to wonder, you know, will my sons really get this position that I think they're going to have in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God here on earth? So when the opportunity presented itself for her, she asks the question. She bows before him. She bows before him. I mean, no, we don't read of anybody else doing that in the scriptures. She bows before him and she makes her petition. She makes this request for her sons. You know, we might criticize her for her chutzpah, you know, for being presumptuous perhaps, but on this Mother's Day, we'll go a different direction. And we're going to look at the things that Mrs. Zebedee did that were pretty positive. Number one, most important of all, she came to Jesus. She came to Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't let her down. Because if you notice, while he says, this isn't mine to give, he doesn't really deny her or them that position, and he doesn't really give it to her. He just says, it's not mine to distribute. He reminds her, instead of the cost of being here, that there's this cup he's going to have to drink, and they do this too. What are some of the good things about Mrs. Zebedee? She brings her boys before the Lord and says, I'd like you to bless them. I want you to give them this position. I want you to think of that in your own life with your own kids. Getting before God and saying, Lord, I'd like you to bless them. I want these kids to have something special from you. I want these children to be endowed by you with something unique. I'd like them not to just have a position where they come in and they learn about you on Sunday, but they do things in your kingdom. They're connected to your work. They're plugged in, as it were, to what God has in store. Are they really going to have what you want them to have in the kingdom? A lot of mothers pray. A lot of mothers pray hard for their kids. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy. Motherhood can be really tough. James Dobson tells the story of his youngest son, his son when Ryan was a baby. And he says that surely his wife had had a terrible day. And at some point, Ryan had been sick. Well, he was sick all day long, and he was crying all day long. It was time to change his diapers, and she's in the process of changing the diapers. The phone rings, and before she gets him fastened up, she picks up the phone, and just then he has this explosion of diarrhea. And she gets off the phone and cleans everything up, and she's got him now in some sweet-smelling diapers, and everything's better. And she gets him straightened up, and she feeds him, and when she goes to burp him, he hurls all over her and the couch and on the floor and on everything, on himself and everywhere. And Dobson wrote that when he came, he said, when I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. And Shirley cried out to him, was all of this in my contract? Did I sign on for all of this? Sometimes mothers, just out of frustration from it all, they pray. Out of frustration of trying to teach children, sometimes we reach difficulties in communication. We think we've mastered it, and sometimes we haven't. I remember being placed in charge of my two sons when they were really little. I think the oldest was 3 or 4, and the youngest one was in diapers and crawling around, kind of toddling a little bit, trying to wobble back and forth. And where we lived, there was a pool, and I wanted to lay in the sun that day, and so I took him outside, and I told Joshua, the older one, I said, you know, you keep an eye on him. And I laid back, and I no more than laid back to catch a few rays, and I hear this sound, plunk. It's the sound a pebble makes when you lob it out onto the water. It just hits the water, plunk. It's a unique sound. And the thought crossed my mind, I didn't see any pebbles around here. And so I set up, and Josh was standing at the edge of the pool, pointing in, going, And I looked down in there, and there's John Mark down under the water in the pool. And he's like this. His diaper is buoyant. So his hind end's up in the air like this. And his head's down here, and his feet are down here. And I jumped in beside him, and I went down, and I looked at him, and I smiled. And then I swept him up out of the water, and I started laughing. And he kind of laughed, and then he cried a little, and then he didn't know whether he was supposed to laugh or because this was weird, and you know, but he made it, you know, and he was okay. And I said, Josh, you were supposed to keep an eye on him, you know. I did. I kept an eye on him. Right into the water. I saw him, you know. Sometimes you think you're communicating and your skills may not be at the level they should be at, you know. You think you're making sense and, you know, I know I tweaked that story to make it fit, but I'm good at making up memories. I'd say a good 98% of that was right on. The rest of it was tweaked. Being a parent isn't easy. Sometimes it's filled with joy and sometimes with sadness. Sometimes there's laughter and there's just this greatness to it all. I mean, if I hadn't set up that day, that would have been a miserable day for me. Probably the worst one of my life. But I did set up and I had a blast. Life is that close. Enjoying it is that close too. Sometimes I see, you ever been around somebody who's dour? I mean, everything is just a mess. All the time. Doesn't matter what the deal is, just everything's bad. That day could have been bad for me, but it was great. It was super. It was actually fun. There's just this little click between great and not so great. It's just this little fine line between one and the other. And it's not in the situation so much as it is in us and what we do with it. Sometimes children can make you so proud you just want to pop your buttons. You know, you see them do something and you just feel so good about them. It's just hard not to think that they're the greatest things in the world. And sometimes you can't find enough handkerchiefs for the tears. But that's a part of parenthood. What good is it if your kids are successful in making money and buying great cars and great homes, but they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world, you know, but they what? Lose their souls. It's not easy, it's difficult. And Mrs. Zebedee gives us this valuable example. She prayed earnestly for those boys. She comes in and bows before the Lord. Now that's called obeisance. That's a form of worship. And she petitions him. She wants those kids involved in the kingdom work. We need to have that same kind of concern for our own kids. And I hope that the heart of every father and mother would be there to grab hold of it and to pray for those children, to have a burden to go before the throne of God and hold kids up before Him. Hold their kids up that they'll be saved, granted that eternal life, because that's where all the good stuff begins. Secondly, not only did she pray that they'd be a part of the kingdom, she prayed that they'd be actively involved. She prayed that the blessings would come upon them, they'd be involved in the work of service. Where does that work of service begin? It really begins in the home. It begins in the house. It begins when there are things to be done right there in the house that need to happen. And by teaching them well at home, they grow up to be leaders that can disciple others, that can help others to figure it out as they go along. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in that kingdom work, and it would be good for us to walk in those footsteps. She had big expectations. Big expectations. I like that. She wasn't going to settle for mediocrity for her kids. She didn't want to pray that they'd be doorkeepers. And I know that scripture that says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of sinners. I understand that. But she wasn't shooting for doorkeeping. She was shooting for greatness. She wanted them to have positions of authority. She wanted them to be movers and shakers. Have one sit on your right hand, one sit on your left. You know, in a kingdom, there's no positions higher than that. With a king, the one on the right and left, those are the ones. Sometimes in the church, we settle for mediocrity. Sometimes we settle for things that are less than the best. We content ourselves with just kind of barely making it through the door. Yeah, we shouldn't be content with that. We shouldn't be content with that. Not to just let things happen, but to be actively involved in making things happen. Well, it's time for us to kind of take our positions at the right hand and the left hand and mold and fashion the outreach of the church into the world around us. It's time to strive for excellence and to reach for the very best that we can be. I began with that story about God creating a mother, and then he says, I am close to creating something very much like myself. And I think that's kind of why today is so special for all of us, that mothers really are our first link to the concept of love, the love of God. You know, she almost goes through that valley of the shadow when we're born. She goes through a lot. And there's this love in her sacrificial giving. There's this love in the way that, I mean, how can the woman go through that much pain and then immediately love the results? It's phenomenal. It sacrifices itself in the life of the child over and over and over and over again. There's this sacrificial giving, sacrificial loving of that child. And I dare say that mothers frequently would be willing to give their lives for their own children. In World War II, we all know about the death camps that were under the Germans' control in Auschwitz and Dachau and different places. This is a true story that I'm going to relate to you. It's about the family called Rosenbergs, the Solomon Rosenberg family. He had a wife and two children, and he was sent, the four of them, plus his mom and dad, the mother and father, were sent to a Nazi concentration camp. And the labor camp rules were simple. You do the work you're told to do until you can't anymore, and then you're exterminated. As long as you can do the work, you're permitted to live. You get too weak and you're done. Well, it wasn't long, and he saw his father and his mother taken out and killed. And then he knew that his youngest son, David, would be next, because he had always been this real frail child. And that he would come in after a day of doing whatever they were told to do, and then he would look around the area, the barracks where he was kept, and he was looking for his wife and children, those two boys. And that day he couldn't see anybody. He started digging around looking, and he found the older boy huddled in a corner, crying. And he asked the boy named Joshua, he said, tell me it's not true. And he said, oh, Daddy, they took David today. He said, but where's your mother? He said, well, when they came for David, he was afraid. And he started to cry. And Mama said this. She went to him. She said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took him by the hand, and she went with him. That's motherhood. That's mothers. And this is your day. May God bless you in it. And I pray that if there's someone here who's never experienced that kind of love of God, that they would reach out to God. Because I don't know about you, but most of us go through things that are very similar to that valley of the shadow. Most of us go through things that are dark and difficult. And there's this God out there who is saying, you have nothing to be afraid of. I will go with you. And he already has. He's proven it. He went through that valley of the shadow of death, and then he rose from the grave. He says, you have nothing to fear. When the times are tough, I will go with you. I will be with you. So I pray that you recognize that this one that's already gone before you has made it possible for you to live forever, and he extends his heart and his hand to you right now, and he invites you, come. Come to him. Come to him. You know, Dad, today I don't know what your plans are. But an author once said, the most important thing a father can give his children, the number one thing, is to love that child's mother. That's the most important thing you can give to that child. When that child sees that love of that father for the mother, he knows inside things are going to be okay. No matter what the situation, things are going to be okay. So let's honor our moms today. I read a whole bunch of different clips about quotes from different people about motherhood. I'm not going to drag you through them. Just Abraham Lincoln said that he remembers what his mother's prayers, and he says, they followed me and clung to me all my life. He would hear his mother praying at night. That'll do it. I mean, if you have a mom who prays out loud, it's good. It's good. Because you really get a sense for who she is and what relation she has with God. Let's pray this morning, and as we do, if you don't know him and you don't know that love, I want to know that you have the opportunity today to find him. Because he's not far. He's not a far-off God. He's an up-close and personal one. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the blessing of this day and the grace that's in it, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our mothers and just for the things they taught us, Lord. We thank you for the discipline they brought into our lives. We thank you for the wisdom that they were able to share with us. We thank you for the things, Lord Jesus, that help steer us in the right direction. And we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that we could, in some small way, bless their lives, that we could make this day better and brighter for them, because they've brightened many days for us. And we thank you for it. And Father, for those hearts that are here, for the people who are here and who don't know you, and who have not made that commitment, Lord, to just live out this life with you, knowing that you don't fix all the situations, but you're the one who says that you will be there and go through it with us. Help people choose today your presence with them in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.